Corbin, what a treat to be down here on the MCG on this day, but with Collingwood's longest-serving player, the longest-serving coach in the game's history. Mick Malthouse is here with me. Scott Pendlebury, just on 10,000 first, four possessions today to get. I know you're a big basketball man, you're big on stats. What does that mean to you to hit that unbelievable mark?
Yeah, it's probably one, like, obviously you never set out to do something like this, and yeah, look, I've just been a guy who's tried to prepare really well, like prepare with humility, but play with confidence, and prepare every week like I've got something to really prove and get better at throughout the week, and then come and play. And that's been my mentality for a long time, and it's held me in good stead. And you know, it'll be nice to get the 10,000s hopefully out of the way nice and early, then we can worry about the match.
We were just joking before, I'm going to get anxiety for you when you've got three possessions. You want to make that fourth possession number 10,000 sort of count. You don't want a clanger. You want a nice goal would be really, really good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a goal, or I might have to steal a kick in from Nick Dacos, so it's something notable. I don't want a little handball out of a clearance or something. So, see how we go.
I hope it's brilliant. What about this bloke? The fact he's down here to do an interview with you, it must be pretty special to bring Mick down to the boundary.
Yeah, it is. Well, we were just talking before. My first game was out here, and Mick gave it to me 2006 against the Lions in round 9, and yeah, I'm forever indebted to Mick for giving me my start. I'm not sure if he remembers, but he took me off the wing out at Werribee in the VFL and told me I was too slow and I'd never make it if I didn't learn how to play in the middle. So I think I've gone okay.
Certainly have. Over to you, Mick.
Well, they're little testers, you know, just to play. Scotty, we were just talking about before our first pre-season together was way back, and we went down the lawn and you learned a few lessons in regard to swimming out, well, going out in a little canoe, looking for glasses and understanding teammates, fellow teammates.
Yeah, so that's right. Well, my introduction was Mick. We went down to Lawn and did a camp, and we went out the back in these little canoes, and Mick got smashed by a wave and then lost his brand new glasses, and then Daisy jumped in to try and find them. And I remember I just sat in my boat and just thought, I'm not going in there. There's sharks everywhere, probably. Sorry, Mick, your glasses are going to be 12 foot under.
Well, I just think I can't believe that I actually waited 9 rounds to play you. So let's go back to your first Anzac Day game. Memories and how'd you feel, and where were we on the ladder at the time?
I think the biggest one that ever stood out to me was the first one that I didn't actually play in.
Yeah.
Sitting up in the stands. And that was probably the first time I had that really strong feeling of, like, I want to be part of this so bad. Like, look at this game. And I remember, obviously, Daisy playing and playing really well. And then my first one, just getting the opportunity to go in and play, and you know, all the learning you do throughout the week, and obviously you were fantastic in educating us young boys who were pretty self-consumed at the time about your own life and what you're doing. And then I just remember always, and Mick, you drove this as hard as anyone, that it never mattered where sides were on the ladder on this day. Mm. It's like a final, and it's an absolute privilege to play in it.
And the other thing is too, I always, as you know, I always judge people on the big stage. Anzac Day is a big stage. You've won how many Anzac medals?
Three.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're pretty special. To think, you know, over your career, it doesn't matter, you know, I know it's how many years you play, but to win three of those against sides that, as you say, look, it doesn't matter about the ladder, it's about the equipment that you go out with and how you play, and just remembering, of course, the Anzac. So those special days, those three that you won, can you give us a bit more of an insight into those?
Yeah, well, I think it's just every game that I've been able to play in out here. It's funny, I've always found that the bigger the occasion as a player, the more basic you need to keep it.
Yeah.
You know, don't fumble, just be clean, give the first gives, don't overdo it. All the little things that, you know, yourself and guys like Alan Richardson, my development coach at the time, always drilled into me. And I always just try, and this day, you never give more than 100%, but you try to on a day like today. And, you know, mateship and being a really good teammate, things like that. And, as I said earlier, I'm just extremely grateful to be able to play in it.
I know you said your first one was sitting in the grandstand. If you had one moment that was either your moment or the club's moment or an individual's moment, maybe a dissident player, is there something that stands out?
I love Jared Blair's moment, Anzac Day, down this end. I think we're 4 points down. He crumbed it and got his little leg to it and just dribbled in. And, as I said, it's really special. And just the way the crowd is on a day like today, like, just amazing.
And the family all coming along?
Yeah, the family here. My son's in year one, so he's given me the history of Anzacs. He's learned about it all week at school, which is amazing.
Well, that's fantastic. That is happening.
It's actually really cool, and he's so pumped to come, and my daughter as well. And, so they're all here today.
Right, okay.
Do you still get nervous? Is that a stupid question? But big game, 100,000 people here. It's the biggest rating game on television for the year. Is it a silly question? Like, do you still get nervous or a bit edgy before such a big game?
Yeah, I get edgy. Like, that anxiety, I don't tell myself I get nervous. I get anxiety, just anxious. I wanted the game to start. I want the warm-ups to start. And then when you're into it, you feel comfortable. I just slot into trying to do my bit for the team and, see how we go.
And Mick, I don't want to embarrass you, but I don't want to ask you about your favourite player, but your best player you've ever coached. Is this guy just about gold medals?
Right up there. Look, I try to avoid that over, I coached for 30 years and played for 12, so there's a lot of great players, but I don't know whether Scotty realises, but I'm so proud of him because, he's a young player that probably in many respects was a little bit torn between basketball and football. And, we realise his talent, so Derek Hine has a lot to play with this to bring him down and draft him so early. But the fact that, I did say that because Scotty's a loper, but you don't catch him. We didn't know that at the time. We thought, look, he's got to start to pick up his speed or just keep winning the football. We did both. His speed of mind and his football ability is outstanding. I'm so proud of him. I know Nanette is too. She's listening at the moment. So, Scotty, I just wish you all the best, mate. And the 10,000 possession is okay, that's one little part of it. It's what you've given the game, it's what you've given Collingwood. I think it's just outstanding. I'm just so pleased for you and your family. And your family back home.
Yeah,
mum and your dad.
They're here today.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually feel like I sound like Mick more and more as I've got older because all the life lessons he's given me and the words of wisdom along the way I'm trying to pass down now to guys like Nick and those young guys. So, yeah, I'm forever indebted to Mick and this football club for giving me my start.
It's awesome. Great to spend a few moments with both of you. All the best for today, and we thank you for joining us so close to the bounce.
Yes. Thanks, mate. Thanks, guys. Cheers.